Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
So yeah, so this was something that was leaked. It was not approved by me. I never saw that. It is, they're going back to the drawing board, talk to your local communities. Here's the thing, I'd rather not spend any money on this, right? I mean, if people don't want improvements, then don't do it.
So this was at a press conference yesterday on an unrelated matter. It's not surprising this came up. Somehow this has become the big old firestorm in state politics over the last about week or so. Because it came out, the news came out, that there was a proposal on the table at, let's just say, some level of incompleteness that would have added pickleball courts to state parks, at least a couple of them, or golf courses to state parks, at least a couple of them, or, I mean, just amenities of some kind to the state parks. And you know how our state parks are kind of like the real Florida, you know, hashtag real Florida, where you can go and see the undisturbed primitive remnants of where they built something in the past, and now it's all decrepit and overgrown with vegetation, like which is common at a lot of the state parks. But, you know, the notion that we would somehow add amenities to these parks and increase participation in them. Well, the backlash against this proposal has been nothing short of tsunami-like, because people think that it's a matter, they're like, they're going to pave over the palm trees and destroy the state parks. And so now the governor is having to kind of, you know, explain how he never gave his sign off on this. It was not an official plan. It was not finalized. All this kind of stuff. Again, yesterday at the press conference.
And so that'll be something that citizens can be able to do. They're not doing anything this year. They're going to go back and basically listen to folks. A lot of that stuff was just half baked, and it was not ready for prime time when it was. And it was intentionally leaked out to a left wing group to try to create a narrative.
So now it's not only is it half baked, not ready for prime time, incomplete. But it was a political plot to embarrass the governor and make him look bad, leaked out to a left-wing outlet of some unnamed kind in order to embarrass the governor.
Group to try to create a narrative. Since I've been governor, we've added over a quarter of a million acres to conservation land. We established a Florida Wildlife Corridor. So we've done a lot of stuff. And on the state parks, if there does need to be improvements, we're not going to take away any green space. You know, we have an existing footprint, and you do. But I mean, if we do nothing, then that's fine with me.
So he's fine not doing any of it. At least that's what he says now. Others have sort of alleged or described this as the PNJ's headline, which I don't think was written here locally. Let me just check real quick where this came from. This is from the Jacksonville, Florida Times Union. The headline on the actual article online says, Governor Ron never back down DeSantis, backs down from reviled Florida park plan. The summary on Facebook is a little bit even more hostile. In remarks Wednesday, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis offered a bumbling defense of his administration and its role in a reviled plan to develop 9 state parks. I didn't personally find it to be bumbling, but, you know, I thought the explanations that he gave, I don't know, made enough sense to me. And one of the things apparently had to do with Folds of Honor wanting to develop some of the golf courses as a way of making money in order to make it possible to finance the cost of some of their activities.
Now, the one issue of the Folds of Honor. So, first of all, we're not getting into the golf course business in the state of Florida, but we have one charity, Folds of Honor, which uses golf to be able to raise money to support the families of fallen service members and injured service members with scholarships. And they also do that for first responders, those killed in the line of duty and those injured in the line of duty.
Obviously, Folds of Honor is a great organization.
And so they had a proposal. It wasn't approved yet. There was a lot of vetting that needed to be due.
I try not to be too much of a grammar Nazi on people unless they're particularly good at grammar all the time, and then it's kind of funny. There are some people who, if they get in the same room with a grammar book, you know, one of the two is going to catch on fire. Ron DeSantis is not one of these people, so when he makes a grammar gaffe, it makes me laugh a little bit.
So they had a proposal. It wasn't approved yet. There was a lot of vetting that needed to be due.
needed to be due. I kind of like it, though. It's shorter.
To take this abandoned military base in Martin County, convert it into something that can be really nice, that would make the general public be able to afford doing it, because this stuff can be expensive, and then take the proceeds and use that to fund the scholarships for the military families and for the first responder families. But that is what they're doing. It wasn't like they were going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't fully understand what seems to be the universal hatred of this plan. I understand that, you know, golf courses don't necessarily make a lot of money and that they take up a lot of space and that, you know, it's at odds with the, you know, historic Florida. And my wife and I, we love the, you know, we go paddle boarding and we're not as big on hiking particularly. We were just talking about this the other day. You know, I asked her, would you describe us as outdoor people? She's like, I think people who don't do outdoor things would describe us as outdoor people, you know, biking and paddle boarding and all that kind of stuff. But it seems to me like there are some places in the state parks where putting in a golf course would be a terrible idea. There are other places where it might be a brilliant idea. And I don't know enough about the specifics of the proposal in order to judge each individual one, but it sounds like there was a lot of land on what at one time had been a military base inside a state park. And so you're not talking about this like pristine, untouched picture of history. You're talking about an overgrown military base, and they were thinking about maybe changing that landscape into a golf course. And you think, and to my mind, I'm thinking, and you know, how is that controversial?
Now, they're not in the business of courting all the controversy. So people down there, a lot of them were upset about it. Some was misrepresented as if they were going to try to take away all this unspoiled land. No, there was almost 1,000 buildings on that base back in the day. There's still some of the remnants of it. But be that as it may, they've withdrawn that proposal. That was the only thing we were interested in, just because it had the connection to the military stuff. So that's done.
Yeah, and again, just the clarity on the what are they actually trying to do? And it doesn't seem like the plan was to create from scratch out of existing raw landscape something that would be, you know, modern and not a fit with the historic Florida concept.
So it's not going to work in a state park, and it may not work anywhere in Florida where you're getting new land and kind of doing it. But what I think they could potentially do is take some of the existing courses that have been run down or abandoned, raise a bunch of money, make it something nice, and then use that to help military and first responders. We saw an example of that in West Palm Beach.
So existing but unmaintained. I mean, think about the moors, you know, like it's there. It doesn't do anybody any good. You're not supposed to really go walking on it. And, you know, what's the point of having it? And imagine if that were within a state park footprint and somebody wanted to say, well, instead of having this useless piece of nonsense, we actually redeveloped it into a golf course. I mean, that seems like an improvement to me. So I suspect, okay, that this is largely an overreaction by some people. I love the state parks. I love the naturalness of them. But of course, keep in mind that, you know, we also have state parks that have, you know, mermaid shows. It's not exactly 100% raw native land, but a lot of it is. And so this has become the pariah of Florida politics over the last, 1 week or so. And, you know, the governor was asked to talk about it. And so that's a little bit of a keeping you up. Now, they were, you know, the basic proposals involved again. There was one proposal that had lodges being developed up to 350 rooms, you know, putting a hotel in. Another one was 4 pickleball courts and a disc golf course in Topsail Hill in underutilized areas. Another one was additional cabins, pickleball courts, or disc golf. By the way, disc golf is a really great blend of natural and human, right? Because it's kind of like putting a – I mean, it's not more any more intrusive than a walking trail. they don't really clear a lot out for a disc golf course. You kind of, you know, put a bench at one end and you put a, you know, chain basket at the other end, and you might remove a tree or two, but mostly it's pretty non-intrusive. That's what makes the courses interesting. And if you've ever been to play the ones like over at PSC in Milton, I mean, it's pretty raw land other than the fact that they're happy. In fact, sometimes it's a challenge to find the course, you know, where you go on it. Same thing at Blue Angel Recreation Area. Anyway, let's see. Olita River State Park in Miami-Dade, Honeymoon Island State Park in Pinellas, Camp Helen State Park in Bay County, and let's see, Grayton Beach State Park in Walton, Hillsborough River State Park in Hillsborough, Dr. Von D. Mezzalula Johnson State Park in Broward County, which I will never say that full sentence again. Anyway, not anything here, but this had, like I said, become kind of an embarrassment for the administration, and he answered it yesterday, and I personally didn't find it bumbling, and although I don't usually relish the idea of pickleball courts. this I think it's, you know, it might be not the golf courses or the disc golf. It might be, this is like people are wanting to wage Alamo-like stands against the last intrusion of pickleball. I feel like it's pickleball that was the thing that got people worked up here, because they view that as somehow, you know, it's the modern, noisy, obnoxious thing that we got to protect ourselves from the invasive species of this non-native sport. I feel like maybe there's some of that going on here. I could be wrong. I could be misdiagnosing it, but I know there, for all of the love of pickleball there is, the people who do not love pickleball really do not love it. So that might have been at play here. 521 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. And now, during our biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus, free home delivery on select smart beds when you add any base. Ends Labor Day. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As fall approaches, you have a lot to prepare for. Back to school, sporting events, family gatherings, and staying on top of your health. The virus that causes COVID-19 continues to evolve. So this fall, no matter what you're prepping for, you can prioritize your family's health and make a game plan for COVID-19 vaccination. Ask your doctor or pharmacist to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What a country! America, love it!
Good morning, 5:23 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, and, you know, trying to, I mean, it's a lot of questions, okay, a lot of decisions to be made, and, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty, of course. You know, what's the market going to do? What's the economy going to do? What are the interest rates going to do? And, you know, when you say, like, what's the market going to do, it's, the market's not like one thing. You know, the generally, you might say a market is hot or a market is not hot, but what really matters is what's going on in the price range in that particular geographic area, because, you know, 700,000 can be going hot in Gulf Breeze and 700,000 can be sitting in Cantonment, because the market is not one thing. It's a sort of an amalgam or a you know, an aggregate of a lot of individual things, and sometimes that can vary dramatically over the course of 5 or 10 or 20 miles. So understanding those particulars, and also even understanding things like, what's going to happen behind this house? Is it going to get developed or not in the future? Well, that's why you have a good realtor, somebody who understands that stuff, somebody who can, you know, look into it and make sure and answer your questions and help you make a better decision and help you to sell for a higher price or buy for a lower price. You know, the value of having a professional. Even understanding the difference between, like, what's changing now that the lawsuit and the outcome of that lawsuit on the, you know, rates that realtors charge has made things different. So how does that all play? Well, that's why you talk to an expert. Not me, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Russia is now barring nearly two dozen American journalists from entering the country. Russia's foreign ministry posted a statement online yesterday saying that they have permanently barred 92 U.S. citizens in response to what they're calling the Biden administration's Russophobic course, including sanctions that the U.S. imposed earlier this year. The CDC now says six people have died from an outbreak of contaminated deli meat since May. Nine people have died, nearly 60 have been hospitalized after the listeria outbreak connected to the Boar's Head meats. Boar's Head expanded its deli meat recall in July.
And do we have any in Florida yet? The last I saw, there was none in Florida.
I think there was one in a different story I read earlier that was in Florida connected to that. And SpaceX has been grounded after a booster crashed into a landing barge yesterday. An FAA investigation now underway to determine what caused that crash. That was during a Starlink launch yesterday. Apparently, they had two launches planned, one in Florida, one in California. During the Florida launch, the booster rocket crashed into a drone ship and then fell into the ocean.
That seems unlikely. I mean, like, it's hard to do. Unless it was, like, the, you know, how they recover them by landing them on the drone ships, and maybe they just did a bad job of landing them.
Well, this says it was during a launch.
Yeah, right. That seems... Well, I mean, no, but the boosters come back during the launch process.
Right.
Because they fall off, and then they come back down to the boat or whatever. So maybe it's
They're supposed to land softly, aren't
they?
Yeah.
They're not supposed to be launching toward the Earth. Yeah, that's right. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 526 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is a... You know, I guess my problem is I'm naive. And I know that's true across a lot of areas. You know, I tend to want to believe that most people are interested in the truth and most people are interested in reason and, you know, our leaders are basically honest. And I have good evidence that that's not always true. But I still want to believe it. And the same thing, I'm always surprised by people who engage in fraudulent or deceptive behavior online. Now, call me naive, I know. But, for example, yesterday I got a text from Robert Bender, the supervisor of elections. He said, Andrew, you may want to let people know about this. I'll just read you the text. We've gotten a couple of calls in the last week from voters who have received a text or a phone call that their vote-by-mail request has been canceled. And he says, this is not coming from my office. And everyone who has called, we've confirmed their request for vote-by-mail is still valid. We're posting something to make voters aware. They can check their status online by visiting Am I Registered? There's a link for that on the EscambiaVotes.com website. They enter their name and the date of birth, and their voter information comes up, including if they have a vote-by-mail request on file or not. And, you know, we had a weird thing come out ahead of the election. Okay, this would be ahead of the November election. And sometimes these sort of misinformation or fraudulent emails, texts, posts, all that kind of stuff, you know, sometimes they seem to be clearly nefarious. Sometimes they're just harassing. Sometimes they're just distracting or annoying. And I don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. But then again, you know, I've pretty well internalized the rules of civilization. And so I'm also not the guy calling up the bar, faking my voice to do the prank phone call. You know, like, I mean, just, is that what this is? Is this what the kids do? This is what Bart Simpson does these days, is put out fake texts or phone calls to people to tell them that their vote by mail thing has been, I mean, it's just weird. And I always think to myself, man, you know, the kind of free time you've got to have and what you could do with that free time. But some people are, I don't know, evil. They find it fascinating, I guess. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. For more than 25 years, they've been helping people like you and like me and like a lot of the people who work at this station and a lot of friends who have bought cars there that, you know, low prices, right? Good quality, relatively low miles, you know, 1, 2, maybe 3 years young. The kind of car that you don't get a new car. You get an almost new car. You know, you avoid that depreciation hit from that first mile. It's the most expensive mile you ever drive in your car. And then after that, right, well, it's used to you too, right? But, okay, so if you get a car that's a year or two old, you know, like we got our Honda Odyssey and it had, I think, 12,000 miles on it in pristine condition. Well, that saved us a lot of money. And now we're going to drive that car for 10 or 12 years because that's how, or 15, because that's how we do cars. You know, so I can't imagine going anywhere else. Like I said, great selection. Try a bunch of different things. Easy to work with. They know what people don't like about the car buying process, and they try to avoid that stuff, and they're successful at it. For more than 25 years, Frontier's been serving the Pensacola community right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. We have FSU tickets. I think we might have a pair of FSU tickets to give away. I think we do. And if we don't, well, tomorrow we will. So we'll let you know.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Vice President Kamala Harris will be interviewed for the first time since launching her bid for president. But there's a caveat to her CNN interview. Her running mate is going to be alongside her.
Even some media outlets seem to question the decision, with the BBC writing, the decision to make this a joint appearance may also fuel growing criticism that after escaping the rigors of a months-long presidential primary, she is now dodging the scrutiny that comes with a solo interview.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer, Harris and Walls will campaign in Savannah, Georgia today in a blow to President Biden's student debt relief plan.
The justice is turning down a request from the DOJ to lift a sweeping appeals court order that blocked the program known as the SAVE plan. You may recall last year the high court struck down another Biden plan which would have forgiven nearly a half trillion dollars.
Fox's Kevin Cork, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is 79 degrees, partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Listeria is responsible for one death in Florida. The CDC releasing a food safety alert update yesterday on a multi-state outbreak of Listeria infections. There have been 14 more illnesses reported now in the last 3 weeks. The total number of cases is 57. All 57 have been hospitalized. So far, 9 people have died, and one of those deaths was in Florida, but the CDC has not released details on that. The former deputy charged in an airman's death in Okaloosa County is due back in court today for a pretrial detention hearing. 38-year-old Eddie Duran is charged with manslaughter for the fatal shooting of senior airman Roger Fortson in May. Duran was working as an Okaloosa County deputy when he responded to a call at Fortson's apartment. Fortson answered his door with a pistol pointed at the floor, and Duran then opened fire, shooting the airman several times. The shooting was ruled not objectively reasonable after an investigation, and Duran was fired from the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office following the incident. He was arrested on manslaughter with a firearm charges this week, and if convicted as charged, Duran could face up to 30 years in prison. He is being held in the Escambia County Jail after his attorney said he had special concerns about Duran being housed in the Okaloosa County Jail. ECUA's got a new bill payment system. They say it's more user-friendly, it's secure and flexible. Executive Director Bruce Woody runs down a few of the other features.
We have real-time confirmation in terms of providing records that come back to you upon payment. You can access it 24/7. And a feature that I really like, lastly, is a customer-initiated text messaging. If you want to set up a text message that comes to yourself that reminds you that when a bill is due or when it's past due, you can set those up on the platform. It will automatically send reminders to you.
And Woody tells News Radio this system is available on most devices. It's powered by InfoSend. For more information on their new payment system, just check out their website, ecua.fl.gov. Governor DeSantis says plans to add more development at state parks are going back for a rework. Speaking yesterday in Winter Haven, the governor called plans to add golf, pickleball, and lodging half-baked.
They're going back to the drawing board. Talk to your local communities.
DeSantis said he didn't see or approve the Great Outdoors Initiative. He says the group behind plans for a golf course at Jonathan Dickinson State Park decided to drop out to avoid controversy. It is 534 right now. News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
There will be some pop-up showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. 40% chance of rain overall. High near 93 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79. For Friday, 40% chance of rain. High near 91. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Keeping that rain chance around for your Saturday with a 40% chance of rain. High near 90 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 79 now in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, and 76 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is the best place to reach informative, local, and dependable listeners. But did you know you can reach sports fanatics on one of our family of radio stations, ESPN Pensacola? It's our area's top place to reach sports fans.
I'm Robin, general manager with Stonebrook Golf Club. We enjoy working with the ESPN local radio team. Great service and delivered results. To reach area sports enthusiasts, I recommend advertising with ESPN Radio.
To have your business reach sports fans today, call 850-262-6000.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Navarre Farmers Market, Combs of Honey, is Saturday from 10 till 2 at the corner of 87 and Segura. Explore and enjoy the wide range of products. GetRelaxing.com for more. The Greater Pensacola Commissioning Committee is proud to welcome the USS Richard McCool to NAS. Take a free tour next Monday through Wednesday afternoons. Get info at PensacolaNavyLeague.org. Submit your nonprofit event at NewsRadio923.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit NewsRadio923.com.
News Radio 92.3, working for you. Informative.
We're giving you your live election coverage.
Rick Scott running away with it. 87% of the vote at this point. Matt Gaetz running away.
Local.
We're speaking to Robert Bender, the election supervisor in Escambia County.
I think it's going really well.
Dependable.
Board of County Commissioners, District 1, Steve Stroberger beating Jeff Bergosh.
Up to the minute, down to the wire.
And then District 4, we had Ashley Hoffberger.
Election coverage that's informative, local, dependable. News Radio 92.3.
Makes me happy every time we play it. 640 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Bruce Woody is the Executive Director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA, as it is more affectionately known. Bruce, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Good to have you on. So yesterday you had a meeting, as we always try to do a little recap with you after we, you know, have a meeting for the for the ECUA board. One thing, by the way, just worth noting is your board composition will not change in November because am I right that all three of the board members either were unopposed or won their primary elections without opposition in November? Is that right?
That is true. The ECUA board districts are the same as the county, so we had districts 1, 3, and 5 that were up for election, and the incumbents of Vicki Campbell in District 1, Larry Williams in District 3, and Kevin Stevens in District 5 all retained their seats.
Very good. So easy for you. Transition is no transition, right? That's always
that is helpful for staff and administration. That's true.
Simplest of all possible.
We have a wonderful board. They do an exceptional job. They represent customers well, and they interact and provide good leadership and direction to staff. We're happy to work with them.
A couple of things that I want to get to with you. One is, I guess, your Reclaim Plant Managers won an award. Is that right? Or won some awards?
Yes. We're extremely pleased to say that our plant managers at our three wastewater water reclamation facilities received awards from the National Association of Clean Water Agencies. These are called Excellent. Peak Performance Awards. Are given across the United States only to those folks who have five or less excursions over a calendar year for their permits. What that represents for us here locally, we have 12,825 compliance points that those three plants have to meet over the course of a year. Out of all those, we only had six points that we didn't meet 100%. So we have a 99.95 compliance.
Sounds impressive to me.
That's even better. Yeah, that's as good or better performance than you get out of other utilities in terms of uptime on electrical energy or gas supply or things like that. So we're very proud of it.
And this would be like the big plant in Cantonment and the Bayou Marcus. Am I thinking about the right places that this would apply to?
Yep. Those are two. The other one's one at Pensacola Beach.
Oh, okay, right. I wasn't thinking about that one. No, I appreciate that. So, wow, congratulations. Yeah. Well done. You guys have an online pay system that you're kind of wanting people to transition to if they're willing. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Some people may already be familiar with an online pay system we used to have called Kubra. We've transitioned to a new bill pay system that's powered by InfoSend. This new system allows customers to make payments quickly and easily from any device that has internet access, whether it's a computer, a mobile phone, a tablet. Some of the key new features of the new pay system, it has a much more user-friendly, intuitive interface. So even first-time navigators can easily navigate the program, platform. Secure transactions. It has advanced encryption and security measures. It has flexible pay options. You can now choose to pay by credit card, direct bank transfer, one-time or even recurring payments. You can also make multiple payments for those customers, perhaps. And then own multiple properties.
Oh, so
you're a landlord and you have multiple properties. You can make those all rolled into a single account and pay them all at the same time. We just have a prior limitation of $500 per payment. That has gone away. So customers with larger bills can pay in a single payment. We have real-time confirmation in terms of providing records that come back to you upon payment. You can access it 24/7. And a feature that I really like, lastly, is customer-initiated text messaging. If you want to set up a text message that comes to yourself that reminds you that when a bill is due or when it's past due, you can set those up on the platform. It will automatically send reminders to you.
Can people text you to do the bulk pickup? Is that something you have the capability for, or do they need to call?
Right now, you need to call, although, boy, you're intuitive. You are just a little bit ahead of us. We're probably about 30 days out from announcing that our Recycle Coach app that goes on your phone will be adding that feature.
Great.
Technically, it's in beta right now. If you were to go out to it, you can actually find it. It's a page where... if you have the app, it'll automatically know what your address is and what your route schedule is. You put in a little bit of information about when you want something picked up and check a few boxes as to what type of material you have picked up. Hit send, and it automatically goes to our scheduler.
Because I will just tell you, as a radio host who has historically always taken phone calls, we get zero phone calls and a jillion texts. People like the text. It's a much easier system if they can text you to pick it up or if it's in the app. Future news, right? 30 days out. Hey, quick question. Bruce Woody, ECUA Executive Director. Is there a fee for online pay, or is it the same price as if you pay through other mechanisms?
Essentially the same kind of pay as before. If you use ACH, it's less expensive, 35 cents. If you use a credit card, then there is a 2.9% fee for that.
Okay, so there's a transaction fee for credit card, a slightly less transaction fee for a bank debit. Okay, very good. You guys are doing a couple of construction projects, in Rarity Point, Pensacola Beach, and the Michigan Avenue one that a lot of people see and worry about that interfering with, which is not your project. It's an FDOT project, but you guys are doing some things in, same time as they're doing it, because if the road's torn up, you can do your stuff, right?
Yes. We have projects all over town, but three higher profile ones include Interary Point Road will soon have the first of a two-phase project to add a parallel water line. We have, because of the development that's occurred there over the years, pressure has become an issue on occasion in some points of the day, so we're improving that line. We're starting on the west end. Last night's board, we just approved the purchase of the pipe for that project, and that project will be bid here soon and will be a construction project over the course of the next year. Pensacola Beach, you may remember that we've been adding a reclaimed water line. That is a water line we use for irrigation right now along the medians on Vindaluna. But we're going to extend that and provide opportunities for the hotels and other properties to tap that to use for irrigation. And that's water that comes from our treated effluent. When that project gets completed over several more phases in a few more years, that will almost, not quite, but almost eliminate our discharges to the Sound because we'll be using it for irrigation. So it's a wonderful project. And then lastly, Michigan Avenue. FDOT is doing a large project on Michigan Avenue on either side of Mobile Highway. And as a part of that, we're doing some water main relocation and using it as an opportunity to upgrade a main. That project has already started on the west end. They're doing that work at night in order to minimize impacts to traffic. It will continue through March of 2025.
Okay, so that intersection, they can expect at least sometimes lane restrictions because of the work being done by you guys and FDOT for about the next 7 or 8 months. Okay, very good. Hey, I wanted to ask you, we're talking to Bruce Woody, Executive Director at ECUA. Nathan Boyles, who is one of the owners, operators of Adams Sanitation out of Okaloosa County, but they do a lot of work in Santa Rosa County as well. He was at the Milton City Council meeting last week, and he made an announcement, something that surprised me. He said that, I think it was Waste Management is constructing, it might not have been Waste Management, but I think it was, that they're building a pretty significant recycling facility in Okaloosa County. The recycling market, he said, has changed. Some of the ways that they are doing recycling in this facility, which will be operational maybe in 30 days, 60 days, something like that, is a little bit more advanced and can capitalize on some of the market changes. How, first of all, is recycling gotten better? He seemed to indicate that it has gotten better, but also, how is the availability of an alternative to what you guys are doing going to affect you guys?
Yeah. Waste Management has built a new facility, and I believe it just went online last week.
Oh, okay.
One of our outside customers is Okaloosa County, and as you can imagine, they have switched over to this facility just because of the ability to save all the transportation charges.
Sure.
Costs a lot of money to haul it this far west. They've entered into a contract. I hope it'll work out okay for them. They're paying quite a bit more to take it to Waste Management than they were to take it over here, so we wish them some success. The market right now happens to be really up, which is favorable for anybody who's doing recycling at the moment. But it is a commodities market, so things go through cycles, and there's good years and bad years, and sometimes there's a little bit of both in the same year. So recycling generally doesn't pay for itself. It's an appropriate thing to do. You don't see many private vendors that are in that business as a result. Waste Management is largely because they're subsidized by the folks who use the service. In this case, Okaloosa County is essentially paying more for the service than what they're getting in revenue in order to help subsidize it.
Okay, so it's still not good enough that people are making money on it, but because people believe in the concept of recycling, and they're willing to pay for it or be subsidized through government, which will pay for it or something like that. Okay, that's fairly good.
Absolutely, which is the way we continue to provide it. It helps the community in general by keeping waste out of the landfill, and it gets products recycled and put back into the economy.
But it is doing better than it had been really bad for a while, so it's good to hear that it's doing good
really
better. Yeah,
cardboard is really up. Goodness, cardboard's almost $120 a ton now, and a year and a half ago, it was only bringing $20 to $30 a ton.
Oh, good Lord.
That's how much
Wow.
That's how much the swing can be sometimes.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about has to do with PFAS, which I know you and I have talked about many times. The ongoing effort that ECUA is involved in, and extraordinarily expensive, I mean millions and millions of dollars, to make sure that you're working toward in compliance with what the EPA has come out with, the standards that were just not that long ago announced, monitoring your wells, putting in these filters. They're very expensive. Then the replacement of the carbon is very expensive, is just all of it. But the thing I wanted to ask you about, because I know in Milton they've been talking a lot about the wastewater treatment plant for years now, and one of the things that they had a conversation about was the treatment standards for PFAS for effluent, treated water that can be used for irrigation, or even, I guess, for sewage. I'm not quite sure what's involved there. It's one thing to test drinking water, which we do, and we now have a standard for that. But I am assuming that you guys are also anticipating a future where there will have to be a standard for PFAS content for treated effluent, and that's going to be an expensive thing in order to filter, I assume, the effluent when it comes out of the treatment process. Am I thinking about this the right way?
Yes, right now there's a standard that's been in the news, that everybody's been talking about, for drinking water. That's 4 parts per trillion is the limit. That's almost unable to be detected. That is so difficult to.
In fact, that's where the standard is, right? It's at the, it's what you can detect is the standard, right?
Right. Exactly. But on the wastewater side, they're talking about, but haven't set any particular standards. If they do, the cost to implement additional treatment processes on the wastewater side will be another challenge. You hesitated a moment when you talked about sewage. I think what you're probably thinking about is a byproduct of the water reclamation process is called biosolids. It's essentially a sludge material that's taken out of the water. Mm-hmm. And right now we process it and use it either for fertilizer, or we use it as an amendment in our composting program to create compost out of wood waste.
Right.
Are our current two uses. But if they put a standard on biosolids as well, and how you discharge with wastewater. Usually it's either applied in the ground or injected back in the ground. Those kinds of standards.
Oh,
really,
yeah, that makes sense.
Goodness,
if it's used as fertilizer.
Tremendous additional expense.
Okay. All right. Well,
part of the way we would address that also would be to increase the standards for those folks who are discharging to us. So industrial contributions, their cost at their locations would go way up, which could affect businesses.
I gotcha.
Mainly industrial businesses. Probably the one that would affect the most would be our local county landfill. They are a pretty tremendous source of PFAS as well.
Oh, okay. And because the water runoff that you guys then treat for at your plant comes from them and carries a high level of PFAS because it comes off of their landfill. Is that right?
Okay. That's correct.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's future stuff, but it's still stuff you got to be thinking about now. And of course, cost, and how can we defray that or, make other people pay for their contribution? That makes sense. Bruce Woody, the executive director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority. Bruce, thank you so much for the information, as always, after we have a meeting of your board. And thanks for doing what you do to keep the water safe, take care of our trash and our recycling, and take care of our sewage, stuff that maybe nobody wants to think about, but it's pretty important when it doesn't get done right.
That's true. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, Andrew.
Always. 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3. Coming up Saturday, September 7th, it's the 2024 Wingman Foundation Pensacola Memorial 5K and 1 mile kids fun run. That's going to take place in downtown Pensacola, beginning and ending at Seville Quarter. You can there's also a virtual variant, so you can participate from your treadmill, if that makes sense to you. Newsradio923.com to get more information. Bands on the Beach every Tuesday, 7 o'clock. The upcoming show, let's see, scrolling. August, the next one is going to be the Shenanigans are going to be on the 3rd. The Shenanigans are going to be performing next Tuesday. It's at 7 o'clock. Always a good time if you're looking for something to do in the evening. Stepping Out in Style also comes up. The 48th annual Stepping Out in Style fashion show presented by the Women's Board of Baptist Healthcare Foundation Thursday, October 24th at the Corinne Jones Resource Center. You can find out more about that at baptisthealthcarefoundation.org. And the Seafood Fest. We've got a lot of things coming up. It's a hot time, and it's not so hot but temperature-wise, which is why we've got a lot of activities, because finally the temperature is a little bit not terrible. September 27th through the 29th. downtown Pensacola. You can go to the Seafood Festival. Always a good time. 150 artisans and craftsmen who come from all over the place in order to be here and get more information about the lineup or get involved at newsradio923.com. And I have a special reward for you for listening early. You ready? You ready? I've got FSU tickets. We never give them away at the 5 o'clock hour. But because I'm leaving a little bit early today in order to get on a bus to ride over to Panama City, in order to ride back on the USS McCool tomorrow morning, we've got to take care of business before I get out of here. So here's the deal. They're playing Boston College next Monday in what Austin describes as a must-win game. I think that's obvious after the loss. Close loss, good game. But, they did lose. So if they're going to be a contender this year, they've absolutely got to destroy Boston College. So that's going to be Monday. It's not a Saturday game. That's Monday at 7:30. And I will give you a pair of tickets to go see that game. If you're just be fast. Caller number one. Easy. No trivia. No challenge. No difficulty. No muss. No fuss. Just first caller wins a pair of tickets to go see FSU take on Boston College. You got to be able to go to the game Monday. It's a 7:30 game. Now, I thought that was the their time, but so I'm not sure if it's 7:30 their time or our time. Anyway, caller number one wins 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. Tomorrow at 9, with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
So you're going to tell me that you don't have no black hats, no Roman candles, or screaming memes?
No.
Oh, come on, man. You don't got no lady fingers, buzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity doodahs, or crap flappers?
No, I don't.
Good morning, 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Congratulations to Clint, who won our tickets to FSU playing Boston College. Be listening to the Pensacola Morning News tomorrow and or also tonight to Pensacola Right Now from 4 to 7. I think there's more tickets. I know they have a pair of tickets to give away. I'm not sure if we have another set to give away tomorrow. It won't be me giving. Well, it might be. I mean, I suppose it might be me giving away. We're totally up in the air about what's going to happen tomorrow right now. What we're trying to make happen is I'm going to be riding on the Tiger Cruise for the USS McCool, the new amphibious transport dock that's going to commission here on the 7th. And fingers crossed, I'm going to be doing the show live from the ship, from the hangar on the ship, which is so cool. But if things don't quite work out, we may have other programming. But we're trying to make that happen. And, I'm just telling you that making that happen on board a ship at sea is a challenge. And we think we got it figured out, but I'm just, I don't want to promise too much. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
So if Andrew gives you tickets tomorrow, you got to have a speedboat to get out to him. It'll be like a...
I don't have them on my person. Also, I would not strongly recommend that you take a speedboat out towards USS McCool. You might find yourself in no longer a boat.
That is true. That was terrible advice on my part. And this is why I should never give anybody
advice.
You
have those 30-millimeter cannons for close-in anti-ship tactics. That's right.
United Airlines flight attendants have approved a strike across the country The flight attendants voted to approve strike authorization if they don't reach an agreement with the airline. For now, off-duty flight attendants are marching on informational picket lines. They want raises, job security, retirement benefits, and more. In a statement, United says they're going to continue to work towards making an agreement.
I'm still in my head now. I'm playing the scenario of, I'm here for the tickets! I don't need them that bad!